welcome to another installment of the Fifth and Inches podcast. This is the second podcast of June 24th, the day of the NBA draft that we're doing here.
Doing work.
One about college football with Jason Schroeder, and now here's Richard Schmidt. Now we're going to talk about some baseball, some
a little bit of baseball, a little bit of World Cup,
a little bit of World Cup, but. Right now, we're playing each other in fantasy right now, fantasy baseball, and you're having a bad day, I guess.
I'm having a bad season. I'm 2-7, he's 6-4, but I was winning by about 60 points this week, and so Matt Cain decided to show up to the ballpark and lose me 15 points. I'm negative 18 points on the day. So,
and you wouldn't expect it from Matt. Matt Cain was probably like one of the first drafted pitchers in this draft this year, I feel like.
I mean, yeah, like, well, after his teammate, Tim Lincecum, who I also have. This rotation, Tim Lincecum, Johan Santana, Matt Cain, and Tommy Hansen, and I'm 2-7.
Let's see what my rotation is here. Okay, here we go, my rotation. Carlos Silva, Adam Wainwright, Dan Herron, Scott Baker, Phil Hughes and Clay Buchholz.
You got a name on there. Phil Hughes?
Yeah.
The year he's having is insane.
But I also have Carlos Marmol, Francisco Rodriguez, and Mariano Rivera. And I am 6-4. Yeah, I have the best bullpen in the league easily. Yeah. And you have minus 18 points today. Shin-Shu Chu struck out twice. That sucks.
And Michael Kudryavcevic. I mean, let's go right here. This is why I lose, right here.
Well, when does Matt Cain ever pitch 2 2/3 and give up 7 runs, only striking out 2?
Today, when he's playing for me and I need his points.
You should trade him. I remember in fantasy football when I traded Chris Johnson after the first 4 weeks and then he dominated.
Matt Cain, Phil Hughes.
No. Phil Hughes is probably, I think, my best pitcher on my staff. No, Adam Wainwright is, I'm pretty sure. Either way, he's up there. He's definitely up there.
Let's talk about another pitcher, Steven Strasburg, who's dominating the major leagues apparently already.
Yeah.
It's not even fair what he's doing.
I mean, he just looks so much better than the batters out there.
Do you believe the hype already about him?
Yeah.
He's maybe one of the best.
He's, like, exceeded the hype so far, so, yeah, I believe it.
I'm a little wary of it because the games he's been pitching in are no-pressure situations. He's pitched against the Royals, the White Sox, the Indians, and the Pirates. I mean, he's only given up 5 runs total in 25 innings, but I don't know. I want to see him against a good team still.
And he has, like, 100 strikeouts already.
Yeah, he's got the record for most strikeouts in 4 games.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's good. Definitely good.
This next game is going to be an interesting one. He plays the Braves, who actually have a legit lineup and are in first place. So let's see what he can do against them.
You know what upsets me about the Braves?
What?
Is that Troy Glauf is having a huge season. And he was just with the Cardinals. And he was horrible.
You thought his career was over.
Yeah.
He goes to the Braves.
Now he's batting like 300 or something. Something like 320 or something like that. I don't even know.
He's just killing it.
Yeah, he's doing real good. But,
it's the reason the Braves are in first place by half a game.
And they're in first. Is the Phillies in second?
It's the Braves, Mets, Phillies, Marlins, Nationals.
The Mets are still alive. That's something to watch right there.
But I'd be scared if I was the Mets and the Braves right now, because the Phillies just got Jimmy Rollins back, who hit a game winner last night. So I see him helping the team get back in first.
And now, straight to the AL East.
My division.
Your Yankees now have the lead as the Tampa Bay Rays have slowed down. But Boston is right there.
Boston is
I've heard a lot of people say that they're worried about Boston. Or that they're kind of, or Boston fans are kind of excited about Boston because they think if the Sox hang around, then at the end of the season things might just come together at the right time.
I've always been worried about them because they will just stick around there, and if they can make that late move, he'll be right with us, and it'll be a tight race in October.
And the Rays, I think, will be around all season long.
And the AL East is by far the best division with the Rays, the Yankees, and the Red Sox.
And then there's Baltimore, who's 25.5 games back, it looks like here. I was looking up stuff before you came, stuff to talk about on this podcast, and I saw an article about the Orioles that said their fans are kind of becoming more interested in the Nationals than they are the Orioles.
I mean, I would. The Nationals at least have potential with Strasburg and everybody, but I mean, the Orioles, each year, what are they going to do? Try to make a move and try to... It's a powerhouse division. They got Tejada that one year. I think they might have got fourth place.
Yeah.
Really, realistically, their best finish, like, into the season would be third place. I couldn't see them going first or second ever.
I mean, nobody... You just... When you get behind in this division like they have... Like, they used to be one of the top teams. Yeah. But... When you're just a franchise that's getting behind now, you're not going to get back into this division without a lot of money in your pocket and free agents who don't even want to go to Baltimore in the first place.
Why would you want to go to the team that's going to be a bottom dweller?
Exactly. Exactly. But so you think the Yankees, are they looking good for holding on right now?
They're looking pretty good. Their pitching's looking good, which has always been a factor for us. And the hitting's there, too, now. Nick Johnson's gone for most of the season. But everyone else is hitting well. Granderson got back in the lineup fine. He's hitting home runs. I think we'll be okay.
Now, the Yankees and Boston, both teams that are liable to make a move. Cliff Lee seems like he's on the trading block, I've heard recently. Is he destined for one of those teams, or is he destined for, like I've heard, the Minnesota Twins?
I didn't actually hear the Twins, but that would be one heck of a move.
That was one of the first things I heard, but the thing I heard about them was that they're going to have to give up a lot of their young talent, which you know the Twins organization has.
They don't do that. Yeah. They don't give up that talent, though.
Yeah.
Which is why they've been so good, when they can bring up people like Joe Mauer.
Right. And they've never really been a team that's traded for a big name like that. They just kind of grow from within themselves.
Yeah, they have been.
But that would be... I mean, that makes them Minnesota a championship contender if they were to make that move for this year. And I don't know about you, but it kind of seems like Cliff Lee is a bit of a team hopper now.
That's what it looks like to me. But, I mean, this is, I think, the last year of his contract because he didn't sign an extension. So I don't know why the Mariners made the trade to begin with, because they were never really going to be in contention for this playoff run.
Yeah.
So they need to get rid of him and try to get some young players back for him that they're going to keep for a couple years.
Well,
I can see him landing at a New York team or in Boston, just because their names are always going to be in the run for it.
Right. Who can you see the Yankees having to give up for somebody like Cliff Lee? I mean, do you think that they could just give up some of their best farmhands, or would they have to give up somebody who is pretty relevant in their lineup right now?
I think they might have to give up somebody relevant, because they're running out of farmhands from all these trades they've had.
Yeah.
And they're actually starting to get back to the thought process of, oh, we need to keep these guys, like Phil Hughes, Jabba Chamberlain. They're keeping them, bringing them up, Robinson Cano. They're bringing them up through our organization, and it's working out for us.
But Phil Hughes has been a guy who has been in trade conversations the past couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if...
I think he's put those to death. He's not going anywhere.
I mean, if Seattle says, look, fair trade, we'll give you Cliff Lee if you give us Phil Hughes and then a couple prospects to be named, then is that tempting?
I think it would be tempting, but I don't think Brian Cashman, the GM, could make that trade, because the money you have to put into Cliff Lee right now to get that extension for the next couple of years.
Right.
You need to get to Phil Hughes. Phil Hughes is going to be here.
Yeah, you'd have to pay him right now. Yeah, whereas Phil Hughes maybe is more stable.
Lee an extension, I don't see why you trade for him.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to be like a 2-month pitcher for your team.
And then again, you know, if Cliff Lee reaches the free agency part of this offseason coming up, then I mean, the Yankees are obviously going to be a team that's going to be able to pay him, probably.
Yeah, and I don't see him signing an extension unless it's hundreds of millions of dollars right now, because he knows free agency's coming,
and
I can get paid
there. And probably a contender. That's, yeah, I mean,
he'll go to a contender.
Wherever he goes from Seattle, if he's not on a team that he thinks is going to compete the next year, then
he will not sign the extension.
Yeah, I don't know why he would stay there.
But I don't know why they would trade for a non-contender would trade for Cliff Lee at this point.
Okay, so in the Yankees, I mean, we would project that they would have to give up somebody like Phil Hughes or Jabba Chamberlain or somebody like that, probably pitcher for pitcher in that case. Boston, I don't really know who would be up for that. I think
Buchholz, almost.
You think Clay Buchholz?
Or if the, I don't know if the Mariners want to age, but Boston's got some older guys.
Yeah.
That they're not going to keep for a couple more years.
I was thinking that, like, I mean, Ortiz could be in that conversation.
I feel like Ortiz could be in a deadline talk, but I don't think it's going to be for Cliff Lee.
I mean, he might be, say, you put him in a package.
Yeah, it has to be a package deal.
Yeah, put him in there with like, I don't know, I mean, I almost want to say that Boston would have to give up, like, I think Seattle would want to go youth, so I would think, like, Jacoby Ellsbury's probably in there, too.
So Ellsbury would have to. I don't know any of their other young guys that they would trade away.
Yeah.
And the thing with Ortiz, he has to stay in the AL. You can't trade him to the NL. He's right. Not an everyday player.
He would be right there for the designated DL hitter.
He'll play first base every, like, 10th game.
Right. But that's the positive thing about him. But, I mean, I think Ortiz, even if it's not for Cliff Lee, he could be one of those players that's gone at the trade deadline. And Jonathan Papelbon, maybe.
He's been off his game this year. He just gave up a walk-off to Jason Giambi. My boy.
Yeah. You know, so let's say that the standings for the AL East here stay the same. New York and then Tampa's two back. Boston's 2.5 back. I mean, given what Tampa Bay has done this year, given what the Yankees have done this year and what they did last year, et cetera, like that, the Yankees, they'll be active at the trade deadline.
They're Tampa, always active. The name's always there.
Tampa should be fine with the lineups that they have.
Tampa might make one.
And the rotation.
Maybe get, but it'd be like a lower name.
I think it would probably be in the rotation, too, or the bullpen.
Pitching. I would definitely go maybe strengthen the bullpen.
Yeah.
Maybe get a fourth or a fifth starter, a spot starter even, just somebody to help their pitching.
And so if Boston's 2.5 back, you would think, I mean, they're still buyers at that point in third place.
At third place, 2.5, even anywhere up to 5 games, they're going to be buyers.
Because I think you have to think in that case, second place will get you the wild card, although, I mean, Detroit is right there. I mean, we haven't even talked about them, but that's another team that could make a deal.
I think you have to look at what the wild card situation is. Right now, Boston's in second for the wild card.
Right.
So I think they'd definitely be buyers. And in a market like New York, in a market like Boston, it's a win now. You don't think about next year. You don't think about the next couple of years. You want to win this year.
All right.
That's what the fans expect.
So, Boston, this was a question that I've been meaning to ask you ever since we were talking about this now. What number here is kind of their go or don't go number in terms of games back? And we're suggesting that they're still in third place. How many games back at Tampa do you think they have to be to say we're not going to go after anybody that would force us to give up young talent?
I'm saying 4 or 5 games out of a wild card, probably, maybe a couple more.
Right.
Just, and then they'd give up young talent because Tampa's catchable. They've been sliding a little bit. What, they're 3-7 in their last 10. But then again, if they get out of the slump, they could be right back in first place.
Yeah.
Easily. I mean, that's the only reason the Yankees are winning right now, is because Tampa's slumping.
Right. Yeah, and if Tampa heats back up, then
it's going to be a race for first, and Boston's going to be left behind.
Yeah, so But I have heard that a lot of people are worried about Boston, just if they're in the thick of things late in the year.
They have an experienced team. I mean, they know how to play. Beckett will get healthy again. Papelbon knows how to play in October. Ortiz, as much as I hate him, always comes up with a big hit. It's just something you got to do. Got to deal with Boston.
And then, I'm looking at the NL right now, and let's switch pace a little bit here. I'm looking at the NL Central. I mean, the Cardinals have a one-game lead on the Reds. But if the Reds are still that close to winning that division, I would think maybe they could get Cliff Lee into there.
To the Reds?
For a postseason run. Give up some young talent, because they have a lot of that.
They have a ton of that.
And, they probably wouldn't have a chance at signing him in the offseason.
They would have to get one of those teams that would be like, hey, we haven't won for a while. We haven't been in it for a while. Yeah. We get Cliff Lee, it's a whole new season for us. We could still win the Central.
Right.
And with Cliff Lee in the rotation, that's basically two games won in the playoffs.
And it's already,
you gotta win one more.
It's already a good rotation, and they still have Aroldis Chapman coming up
and
through the system.
And they got Johnny Cueto?
Yeah.
Who just pitched seven, no runs.
Exactly. So they already have a good rotation. They have a good lineup this year too. So I mean, I would think that they're definitely one of those teams that has the young talent to say, here you go, Seattle, and we'll take Cliff Lee.
I'll take Cliff Lee out of your hands, help you out for next year.
Exactly. And then the Cubs and Milwaukee, same record in that division, basically a tie for third. The Cubs, sellers this year?
I think so. I think they have to be. Yeah. 9 games out, middle of the season, about 10 games from the middle of the season. You guys, they're not doing much this year. Starlin Castro sucks. He hurt my fantasy team. I should have won.
He started out really good. His first two games were very impressive.
He had 6 RBIs the first game.
Yeah. And then
he's had zero since.
He's just disappointed.
Hey, he's just...
Cubs fans can't be happy that they're...
Yeah. They need to try to take something out of this year.
Yeah. But
if they start selling their team, Chicago's another one of those big market teams. I don't know how it's going to go over with fans. Here's Cashier's numbers, by the way. 257, 2 home runs, 16 RBIs. Really hasn't done anything impressive this year. And he was supposed to be, after that first game, he was supposed to be in the contention with Jason Hayward.
Yeah, but, he's definitely not there.
Yesterday, 3 to bats, 3 strikeouts.
Yeah, so he's disappointing there, but... I think the thing I've always heard about the Cubs, or rumors, I guess, after in the offseason or whatever, is that they were just going to clean house in terms of their lineups and Soriano and Derek Lee and all of them. I've always been a fan of that option for them. Even though I'm not a fan of the team, I think that they need to kind of start rebuilding.
Get some real talent for Soriano. You get a package deal for Soriano, you get a package for Lee. They go to contenders this year in the offseason. I mean, that's some big names they could drop.
You could get some real legitimate youngsters into your system through that.
You get some pitching prospects.
Yeah.
I think they need to actually consider that this year.
Yeah, they definitely need to, and pitching is definitely one of their bigger concerns. Carlos Silva is doing pretty well with them. He's having a good season. I got him on fantasy. See, I was surprised I could pick him up because, he was 8-1 when I picked him up.
We have Cub fans in Arthur. I thought one of them would have him.
Right. I mean, they seeked out Starlin Castro, and
which I beat them to.
Yeah.
And then after 3 games, he started sucking. Cubs always disappoint me.
Yeah. Well,
I think we need to talk about the West a little bit, because... That's
the NL West?
The NL West.
Okay. Because the AL West is the most boring division in baseball.
I'm not 100% sure on the standings from last year.
I can't believe what is happening. Well, this is...
There's 4 teams over 500. And for some reason, I want to say none of them were above 500 last year. At the end of it. I'll look that up real quick.
Here, I got it right here. I got 2009 regular 2009 season
standings.
Well, okay, we have
There's three, but there are four of them right
San
now.
Francisco's just above 500, it seems like, in Dodgers and Colorado. But, yeah, I'm so surprised.
Such a change here. They were 20 games out last year.
Yeah, I'm very surprised. And you look at their the run differential for them last year, minus 131. I mean, that definitely just direct mirror image almost, a reflection of this season. So, you know, I'm surprised to see them in first place.
At this point last season, they're 15 games back with a run differential of minus 72.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't know. That's a big change for me.
But, I mean, they're a team that they look really good. And, you know, Adrian Gonzalez, a lot of people said that the Padres, and I know you've mentioned this before, they were going to just start this season and kind of choke it away and then ship Gonzalez somewhere else, but I don't think that's going to be happening anymore.
It looks like Gonzalez was supposed to be the biggest name to try to trade deadline.
Right.
But now, you're in first place, how do you trade him away?
They really you definitely don't, or you're stupid, I think.
I think the fans would kill the Padres if they traded Gonzalez right now.
But you look at this here. It's San Diego, San Francisco. The Dodgers are in third place. But look at their run differential. It's just plus one. If they get that up, then this whole division could change and they could win it like they did last year.
They're in a six-game slide right now, too. Yeah. So
they've had those streaks this season already, though. So
they have pitching. San Francisco has great pitching. I think San Francisco's pitching helps them win this division, to be honest. Lincecum, Kane, and Zito, who I haven't been big on in a while, but yeah, he's having a good year.
He's right. He's earning his contract this year.
Finally. It took him like 3 years.
Definitely. But
he is earning it.
The Giants have good pitching, but, I mean, the Dodgers have probably the second best pitching in that division.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know if San Diego holds on to it.
Yeah.
And if they don't hold on to it and they keep Adrian Gonzalez, it's kind of going to be a loss for them. They need to try to, I think they need to bolster their lineup so they can compete with San Francisco and the LA Dodgers.
It's, I mean, obviously we're both surprised that they're in first place, but the NL seems to have a lot of surprises. Like, I'm surprised Cincinnati is in second place in the Central, and then I'm surprised at the first two teams in the NL East, Atlanta and the New York Mets. 3.5 above Philadelphia. I didn't really ever think that that would happen anytime soon.
And the Braves had a bigger lead. Like, Philly just won 2, the Braves just lost 2. So it was 5.5 over Philly.
Yeah.
And 2.5 over the Mets. So Atlanta just really came out of nowhere. And they're 24-7 at home.
Yeah. They're,
you can't that's beat the way to be in.
And the Mets are 26-10, though. I mean, that's just as good.
This is Jones having one of the roughest years of his life, thinking about retiring.
Yeah.
And you're still in first place. If he can do anything like he used to be,
exactly,
they're going to be in contention too.
And I mean, the NL West has 4 teams over 500. The East almost has 4 teams over 500. The Marlins are right around the rim there. But
that wild card race would be insane too.
You know Philly's going to be huge buyers, and they're going to be willing to give up a lot to win this division at the trade deadline.
They made the Roy Howard move. They'd do anything to win at this point.
And you know what? I mean, I completely forgot. Like, we're talking about Cliff Lee, but Roy Oswalt is still out there on the market, too. And, I mean, I've heard a couple other names. I'll have to check on
Oswalt. The only one I've heard Oswalt to is the Yankees, because that's all I've cared about.
Right.
But I think I hear on ESPN, let's see, Cliff Lee or Roy Oswalt for the Rangers. So apparently the Rangers might be making a deal, but Tim Kirkson says no deal is close. I don't see that happen.
You gotta trust Timmy.
They got a month to work though, so.
So Texas could be buyers, I guess. The Rangers. That's what you're bringing up on your computer there.
Tim Kirkson says, the Rangers might not have the resources to deal for the Astros ace, but neither do many other teams. Right. So it seems like the Astros want a lot. I don't know if they can ask for that much at Roy Oswalt right now.
All
right. Yeah, he's got a 3 ERA. His whip's 1, but I don't know. He might be past his prime in my eyes.
Well, Rangers have the lead in this, in the AL West, over the Angels, who are playing fine. Texas is on a 10-game win streak right now.
Wow.
Seattle alone's on a 6-game win streak, and they're in last place.
Still by 13 games. That division is streaking right now.
That's pretty big time. And then, I'll say one more thing about the NL East. Watch out for the Nationals. With Strasburg, there's a new fire that's lit under him right now.
Like, I know he only pitches once every 5 games, but still.
People are excited, and the team...
The whole city is alive for that team right now.
Exactly.
That team has to feel so much better about itself. And you can't forget their other pick of that draft. I think his name is Capps.
Matt Capps or something?
Their closer?
Yeah.
I mean, he's pretty good, too.
All right. So, you know, Washington's right there. They have a long way to go, let's just say that.
Yeah.
They're jump not over there the yet, other four teams.
They can still do. They can still make some moves. It's before. We're not even at the All-Star break.
Right.
And they can stay in it.
Yeah, that's pretty crazy right there. I can't believe it.
Oh, so Matt Capps isn't their youngster. He's been around a couple years, apparently. But there is also a young reliever that might not have been brought up yet.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I think he was in the first or second round with Strasburg.
Hmm. So, I mean, what do you think? The NL West is still the most exciting division?
I think the NL is just... They're just everywhere. If you could pick one division to watch right now, what would you pick?
I don't know. That's...
It's still tough.
Maybe the NL East. I mean, I think what Atlanta's doing right now and the fact that the Mets are finally up there at this point and the Phillies are looming and...
Being a Yankees fan, I've realized one thing about the Mets. They always seem to choke it away.
Well, yeah, I figured that.
I don't know if I'd want to watch them right now because I think it would just depress me. Because I would root for them to win that.
But here are the reasons why I'm watching the NL East. First, these are in no order, but first place, Atlanta Braves, 24-7 at home. That's incredible. Maybe the best home record, is the best home record in all of the league. Second, the New York Mets are up there, you know, just maybe waiting to choke as far as the reason I'm watching them. Philadelphia just looming large. They have a very, very good team, one of the best in the NL, but they're in third place. Florida, no real reason to watch them except for, I mean, maybe Hanley Ramirez or something. And then 5, Washington, Strasburg. That's probably the number one reason to watch that
division. I got a story about the Marlins. With Freddie Gonzalez out as a manager, we got to see who comes in now. Because
who was I hearing? I think I was hearing
Bobby V. Bobby Valentine.
Yeah, Valentine.
Because he just withdrew from the Baltimore open position.
Which nobody wants. Like,
of course.
We were talking about the fans don't even like the team.
I could see him. He's a very experienced manager. He's done some good things with the Mets. He comes into the Florida. They can make a wild card run. I don't think they can win the division, but I think they can make a wild card. They're only 6.5 games out of that.
Yeah, and they're always there. They have that talent that can just explode it at certain points this year. But speaking of the Freddie Gonzalez thing, fired deservedly so or out of the ordinary, or what do you think?
I think it's a tough situation to be in the Marlins job. And once you start arguing with who the best team is, basically... Or not the best team, the best player on your team is. Hanley Ramirez, a franchise player. It just didn't look good for him. But I'm reading something. Oh, apparently the owner of Florida declared a playoff or bust expectation for the team.
For this year?
Yeah, for this year.
And Freddy Gonzalez wasn't delivering that, I guess.
So, yeah. So, I mean, maybe that's why. But I don't think firing your coach in the middle of the year is going to really help your team. It could really hurt your team, distract the players, everything. Because you're bringing a new coach who doesn't have spring training to, like,
right.
get to know his team.
He's got to learn kind of on the fly right now all about the Marlins. And that's a bunch of different young players who are all just kind of doing their thing. Like Hanley Ramirez showed, he's just working for himself right now, I guess.
Mm-hmm. And that one player is not going to get that whole team.
Right.
They have the pitching, too. They have Josh Johnson. One hell of a young stud.
So what division would you most watch right now? I said NL East for five different reasons.
Okay. I'm going to go... I have to go to AL East. And, again, I have a couple of reasons.
Because you're
mainly,
a Yankees fan.
Mainly, Boston's making this run against the Yankees. The two most pro... I'm not going to say the word. The two most historic teams in all of baseball. That's always one hell of a mashup. And then you got Tampa Bay, who for the last couple of years has been making the same run and showing, hey, we can play with the Yankees and the Red Sox. That three-team race could be one of the best in baseball because, you know, first and second is going to get the playoffs, basically.
Yeah.
And that third team deserves the playoffs and could probably win any of these other divisions. They could win the AL Central, the AOS, any of the NL.
Right.
But they're not even going to make the playoffs. I feel bad for everybody. I've got to sit at home in October, being Boston or Tampa.
Yeah.
And knowing the Yankees are going to win the AL East. All
right. And knowing you're a good team, too, but they also have the worst team in the major leagues, Baltimore. How the heck does that franchise get turned around?
They need an overhaul of everything. They need to start young, make it like a 10-year project.
Yeah.
They need to actually follow Tampa Bay's lead. Tampa Bay found out how to play.
Yeah.
But if Baltimore can start playing like Tampa Bay, and we have four good teams, we're going to need to pull a BCS, and we're going to need to switch up these divisions, because this just isn't fair anymore. I just can't handle
it's
all the stress.
It's just such a heavy division, I guess.
162 games scheduled, beating up on each other.
So, yeah. You'd watch... Well, we'd both watch the East divisions, just in different leagues, I guess. So... But every division's really pretty exciting at this point.
At this point, yeah, there's no real standout.
And we're getting to the trade deadline coming up in a while, and that'll be a fun couple
of
weeks.
One of the fun times
yeah.
in my life.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, look at this. They dropped another point in fantasy.
No, really?
Mike Kadire struck out again.
Your team's struggling. Who's the best team in our league right now?
Not me.
Is it Rhodes?
The situation.
Oh, it's
Jason Schroeder.
Schroeder.
He thinks he's so good.
He's won four straight. That's the reason why he's the best.
Did we discuss my trade on here?
No. Well, yeah, let's talk about your trade right now.
Because we need to talk about this trade.
All right, let's do this.
I bamboozled the worst team in the league.
Andy Summers.
Mark Teixeira, and I think it was Josh Beckett.
It was.
Mark Teixeira and Josh Beckett for Adrian Gonzalez and Ricky Nolasco, both of who are on his bench right now. Like, this, I can't even explain this trade.
Has it worked out well for you?
Teixeira has been scoring for me.
Okay.
I can find out why Andy's 1-8. He doesn't even have a first baseman in his lineup.
Yeah.
His Adrian Gonzalez sitting on the bench. He doesn't have him in. He didn't have Nolasco in. Some people just don't need to play fantasy.
I'll tell you, I made the best pick of the draft this year. Easily. Jose Reyes. Easily the best pick of the draft. You know nobody was going to pick him. But he's having
problems.
A really good season.
Yeah.
His last, like... five games here. Let's see. Detroit, 16 points. Detroit, 10 points.
Yankees, he was 0-4 there. But Yankees before that, 14 points. And before that, 6 points. Then against Cleveland, 11. Like, he's good. Again.
And he kills me.
I'm going to put that out there right now. He's back.
It's good for him because he had all his issues. Spring training, first month. It's good to see him come back.
I think I need another starting pitcher, though. I really do. I think I need another.
Well, Matt Gaines, I'll give him to you for free.
I mean, I might.
I mean, you know, he would be better on a bench today.
I might think about getting Matt Cain because, you know, what if he comes back? What if I could make you a deal? Like, we could swap, say, like, Dan Haren for Matt Cain right now. Two pitchers that are having sad years but could bounce back.
I'm not taking Dan Haren.
Fine.
Dan Haren is just... That's why the Rangers need a pitcher, actually. Dan Haren is going to be, oh, I'm going to be the A's for the Rangers. And he's not doing anything.
All right. Well...
I'm going to switch it up to the World Cup
real quick. I want to talk about the World Cup real quick.
We first talk about the United States game and how
we're watching this
game together.
Yeah, we're watching this game together. Hearts almost to the floor.
Like, in the 7th minute of the game, off the post for Algeria. Yeah. Shooting with a dagger in the heart.
Serious. That was a... No, this game was thrilling. I mean, it was 1-0. Boring for non-soccer fans, but, I mean, this thing was non-stop action. Tell you the truth.
I think Richard Davis told me he was bored during it. I was like, how are you bored? I was on the edge of my seat the whole time.
A couple of the people we were watching with left. They're like, I have to work. Oh, what? You're watching America.
Now, I'm either calling in or I'm quitting.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if your job can't let you come in late because you're rooting on America, then, like...
What kind of boss do you have?
What kind of place of business is that?
Let's be honest.
And then Donovan's goal already being called
the goal of the tournament?
Nation's sports moment of the year.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of people are already saying that's the moment of the year.
Defining moment in the U.S. soccer, too. So they're throwing some big words.
I mean, that's the biggest goal, obviously, in U.S. soccer history, I think.
It has to be.
Because
not only did we advance, we beat England.
Yeah,
we have more points than
exactly.
You. So suck it, England.
But it's already become the moment of the year. I mean, you want to think about 2010? I mean, think about who you're competing with. Like, I mean, first thing that comes to my mind: the onside kick in the Super Bowl. Like, that's a pretty big moment, also. I think. I mean,
I don't even remember the onside kick.
I mean, Landon Donovan's goal is just so in my mind right now.
If you're talking about kicks, how are you not going to pick Landon Donovan?
Well, there it is. See, it's the better kick.
91st minute. Like, non-soccer fans don't understand that. That's insane.
Set up by Josie Altidore and Tim Howard. We got to give it out to them, too.
Oh, yeah. It was a sick setup. Was it Josie
Altidore shot it, and then Clint Dempsey kind of ran into the goalie a little bit while he was on the ground, and then it bounced off the goalie and down. But, I mean, Tim Howard threw it to, like, midfield.
Tim Howard is going to be an NFL quarterback next year.
Like, why?
Arm is ridiculous.
I mean, I think...
Tim Tebow could make that throw.
Right. I don't think Brett Favre can make that throw either.
Brett Favre, I don't want to talk about Brett Favre.
You know who could take Tim Howard right now?
Who?
Probably the Bears. They would take him.
They would take him.
I bet they would take him. Yeah, easily. But, amazing game yesterday. Awesome. What have you thought about the World Cup so far, though?
I mean, I've had fun watching the games. I've been a little disappointed by some teams. Cameroon's disappointed me.
Yep.
But...
You picked them to go far in our World Cup.
Yeah, let's not talk about that.
No, I'm just going to let the listeners know that one.
Oh, they scored, by the way. It's 1-1. They can't win. They can't do anything, though. That's whatever. I mean, some teams are just...
France and Italy, huge disappointments. England.
France and Italy, England's disappointed, but they got through at least. Yeah, France and Italy being in the championship game last time, and neither of them coming through, is insane.
I don't know what happened to France. I mean, Italy, I think we kind of knew that they were old. We didn't know how much it would affect them, but we knew that they were old, and that obviously was a big catalyst to them bowing out here today. But France just
lost it. Not even talent-wise. They just They just fell apart mentally.
I don't think... I mean, their coach is probably gone. Like, he'll probably get fired after this.
He has to be.
I mean, he couldn't control that team.
The director, would he step down?
Yeah, he resigned, I think.
Everything was awful. I just love the World Cup because all the emotion that the fans show. I was watching ESPN earlier. They're showing the fans of Denmark, who unfortunately is losing Japan right now. And they're decked out from head to toe, this bright orange for their team. Just everybody just shows up. We were watching the American game, and the fan was crying.
Yeah.
It was crying.
Yeah.
Like,
there's so passion. That just explains the World Cup.
Our passion is only like a percent of
the gosh. And even better than the Donovan goal was our reaction. Like, we erupted.
I started ripping my shirt off before I realized what I was doing. And I stopped. My neck is so big in that shirt.
I think I might have shook your house with my scream.
I almost took my TV and just threw it to the ground.
And then, like, I think I hugged Tro.
I think you had Rhodes. I think I had Tro first. I think we all hugged.
I don't know.
It was just, we were just sharing the love.
I think I might have.
I might have blacked out for a little.
I think I did.
And those last 2 minutes of the game, though, oof. Still, it's like, if you screw this up.
And right Algeria now, had shots, too.
They had a good try at it. Oh, so the Netherlands is up 1-0. Cameron ties it in like the 81st minute. Not a big deal. Netherlands just scores in the 83rd minute.
Well, there you go.
Cameron's got no points. I picked them in the finals.
Yeah, well, I picked France in the finals, so.
I'm not even from Cameron, I'm pissed.
I'm with you on that one. So, I feel ya. Well, look at these, I mean, we're not through with the group stage yet, but look at these next round matchups so far. Uruguay, South Korea, U.S., Ghana, big day.
Very happy we have Ghana and not Germany.
But, dude, June 27th is going to be insane. Germany, England, and Argentina, Mexico. Those are both rivalries.
I did not see that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be glued to my TV.
That's going to be a big day.
And we got
Slovakia
and Uruguay. We're going to lose either England or Germany, which is insane.
They've both been pretty disappointing at this point. Germany, I don't know how they lost. Germany had a
disappointing second game.
Yeah.
But that's not it for them. And then Argentina-Mexico. Mexico comes hot on that, probably. Yeah. And just saying, Jason Schroeder picked Mexico to go pretty far.
Yeah.
But I pick Argentina all the way.
I mean, I'm gonna give you this. I like Argentina right now. I think Argentina and Brazil are the only, like, kind of guarantees in this tournament left. They're the only two teams that are playing really good.
Argentina has not really lost yet. They've won every game.
Right.
And Brazil's doing pretty good. I want to see Brazil-Portugal.
Yeah.
Like, that game doesn't really matter.
It doesn't mean much. They're both in,
unless
but it's going to mean...
Unless scores, like, 10 goals.
Yeah.
But...
It's going to mean a lot in terms of momentum, I think.
Because neither team is going to go lightly.
So that's the game to look forward to, I guess. And then, I mean, I picked Spain to win it all, and they play Chile. I mean, that's
a tough one. Chile's going out of nowhere.
I think that division is, like, 4-3-3-0, I think. I mean, I'm going to have to check this here. It's
that too. That's
Group H. Let me check it out. It's 6-3-3. Spain and Switzerland are tied right now. Spain does have goal differential, though. But they got to beat Chile. Like, let's be real here. Because Switzerland has Honduras.
They lost. Yeah.
They lost to Switzerland. And
I forgot they only have 3 points.
Exactly.
And Chile is coming in hot, though.
Right.
So if Chile ties and Switzerland wins,
yeah.
Bye bye.
Yeah.
Spain.
Yeah.
And so, honestly, I don't think anyone picks Spain losing any games in this round.
Yeah, I'll be upset about that.
I'll be upset for you.
My tournament bracket will just be shot, and I'll just burn it. I think at some point.
Then we just have to root for U.S. even harder.
Yep. For that.
If you thought you had a heart attack at the last United States game, you wait till the next one. Sweet God.
I mean, Jesus. I don't even know, like, what to say about it. You're minus 19 points right now in fantasy baseball. It's been a good World Cup so far, though. Can't wait to knock out
rounds. I'm over fantasy baseball. Yeah. I'm into soccer.
Yep. Well, I mean,
and the NBA draft.
Where's fantasy soccer? Come on. Like, I want to draft Eto right now.
First you pick. Want to start fan? I bet they have fans. I bet ESPN has fantasy soccer.
I bet it's not. I bet it's not people, though.
Fantasy soccer.
I bet it's not people, though. It's probably just games.
It's probably club games.
Premier World League.
Cup fantasy. MLS. Take your 15-man squad and play against your friends in the rest of the world.
Where?
Dude,
oh, my gosh.
We could totally have done that, and we can still do Premier League.
Where? Wait, how do you... Oh, we can't do World Cup fantasy anymore.
It's right there, yeah, but that's, like, too late now. But look at this. Jeez. Premier League? Is that fantasy?
I'm pretty sure.
I'm saying we start one.
I think so. Or the MLS. That'd be good, too.
Let's start this for the MLS. Wait a second. Oh, it's against the whole world. Oh, no, you can do leagues, too. Any of our viewers out there want to start a league with us?
Let us email me. Email me right now.
Please.
Put a comment on this podcast.
Do something, because we want to play MLS. We want to play fantasy soccer. I will be on this thing like it's my job.
I want to be better than the Europeans. I want some Europeans to be in our league, and I want to crush them.
I want to crush the shit out of them. I'm going to be number one on this thing. I'm telling you right now.
No way. It's all me. It's really all me.
Oh, I don't want Rhodes in it, because there's a stat top five leagues. He's bringing our league down to zero if he's in it.
Yeah, he is, because he'll draft, like, somebody ridiculous, I bet.
Oh, I'm going to draft Shevchenko. Not a bad pick, actually.
I don't know.
Well, who does he even play for?
I don't know. It's not a big deal. Ukraine is all Rhodes knows. So.
I hate Ukraine.
But. We're going to go, I guess.
I think that's all we have for this podcast.
Just research some fantasy soccer and see what the whole deal is.
Please play with us.
Yeah. Just let us know if you want in. Soccer's great. But for now, we're going to go play FIFA. And that's great too, right?
That is awesome. I'm going to go beat Rose when he gets here.
All right. So, we got to talk about soccer, obviously, after the World Cup's over. So
after the World Cup's over, we're going to have probably another soccer one. We have to get the four of us together again.
Yeah,
get our soccer podcast on. It was heated.
Yeah, one of these days coming up here. We're going to do that. Yeah, it was heated. It was a lot of arguments.
But, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's all good fun.
Yeah.
We knew what we were talking about.
We don't actually want to kill each other.
Sometimes I want to kill Rhodes. Sometimes.
Yeah. But, you know, whatever. All right. But thanks for being on today, Smith.
Thank you for having me.
All right. And stay tuned for more podcasts, and especially the World Cup podcast. That's coming up.
That'll come up soon.
Yep, it'll be coming up soon. All right. So stay classy.